This is the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. For those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Not to do, but to be. At this point in my parenting career, I figure I've done a lot. I haven't finished my job as a parent, but I have done quite a bit. I have changed, I have to imagine, way more diapers than my father ever did. I know this because when he first changed Eden's diaper, very early on, he was like, "Ugh." And I knew it was something he had not done thousands upon thousands of times. I have changed diapers thousands upon thousands of times. Though with all those diaper changes, with the dirty, poopy, pee-filled things, I have never once thought, "You know what? I'm going to hold on to this one. I'm going to keep this one special place." Jesus' mom, on the other hand, must have, or at least that's the legend. In Dubrovnik, Croatia, you can pay €3 to go into the cathedral and to see the diaper of Jesus. Tourists come through to gaze upon the scrap of soiled cloth, probably washed at some point, before it was set on display, surrounded with gold and jewels. There is the diaper of Jesus. Or, if you're into that sort of thing, you could go to Assisi, Italy, and you could see the clippings of hair from the head of St. Clare, who founded an order of the Poor Sisters inspired by St. Francis and his holy order. The clippings of blonde curls were said to have been cut from her head by St. Francis himself, and they are encased in a glass box ornate with gold and jewels. I don't know, when my wife cuts my hair, we just sweep it up and put it in the garbage. But these things that we would throw away, diapers, hair clippings, even if they're not the real things, the things that had been, when they're coupled with what is divine, when they're close to that sacred source, whether it was the body of a saint or the butt of a savior, they become valuable. They become worshipful. They become cared for in the most special of ways, that people travel from far and near to see them. What is divine is valuable. And divinity can make anything valuable, even that poopy, pee-filled diaper. It's interesting that such things carry such value, and we, as people, so often doubt our own value. We go through life and get into places in it where we lack purpose. We wonder about our meaning. As kids, we fight for purpose and meaning amongst our peers, trying to be popular, trying to be liked. As adults, we scrap for it in our work, hoping to be recognized for the effort that we put in, doubting our achievements even when we are. Or we, in our families, we work and we work hoping for that moment of peace where there's just that moment of "I love you" and not the screams and the "Hey, stop hitting your sister." And after our retirement and into old age, we ask these questions again. Why, for God's sake, am I still here? What am I supposed to be doing now? I feel like I'm just existing, just taking up space. We ask these questions all throughout our lives, asking, what is life for? Where do we find the value in it? And when we can't answer that question, or if we've made a mistake in trying to answer that question, or if we've endured a tragedy that we can't get over, we consider our lives ultimately empty and valueless. And some even consider taking their own lives. Some in this room have wrestled with those thoughts. I know. You've shared them with me. Even when things go right in our lives, we struggle with the question of our own value, our own ultimate value. How much more do we struggle with that question when things go wrong? When our friends aren't there for us, or when we're all alone in life, when we suffer even though we didn't do anything to deserve that suffering, or when we're targeted by law enforcement, or when our closest friends betray us, or when the crowds of people mock us and we're humiliated, when we're beat up, when we're humiliated in public, when we're all alone, or when we face death. People will go to unspeakable lengths to avoid those things. People will do evil things to avoid having to face such things as humiliation or death. People will inflict those things on others, will humiliate others, will mock others, will beat up others, will kill others just to save themselves in the hope that it will stave off that feeling just for a moment. The fear of those things poisons our souls. The fear of death, the fear of suffering. Frank Herbert, the writer of Dune, whose movie, the Dune 2 movie is out and in the news, takes that spiritual truth and puts it in his sci-fi world, saying fear is the mind killer. Fear poisons our souls. And it's in that fear that Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night when he's not going to be seen by the other Pharisees, when he's not going to be noticed or recognized. He comes to Jesus to ask him some questions, to try to get curious. And it's in that night of fear that Jesus speaks to him the words we heard in our gospel today. It is to address that fear that Jesus says to him directly, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." God does not condemn you.
Nicodemus. God does not condemn you. God loves you. God has loved you. Since your existence was hidden in and with God before the foundations of the world were ever laid. The Gospel of John begins with the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. All things. Without Him, not one thing came into being. That includes you. The world came into being through Him. God does not offer love and value and salvation unto you because of anything that you have done or not done. God loves you and values you and saves you because of who you are. For you are a creation of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And God doesn't just expect you to take their word for it. God will show it to you. God will prove it to you that you have value even when you think you don't, especially then. And so Jesus, Son of God, co-eternal with God, who was with God in the beginning, who will be with God in the end, who is, was, and will be God. Jesus, child of God, Son of God, Jesus, God, will face what it is that you fear most. Jesus will take that poison that you fear being poisoned with into His own flesh. Jesus will become what you most fear, will be despised and abhorred by the people. Jesus will even lose sight of God, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? But even losing that sight will never lose God. Not even in death, not even in hell. And that's the thing that brings that ultimate Easter sunrise surprise when divine wins out over everything that would squelch it. Because death cannot overcome life. Evil cannot overcome good. Wrong cannot overcome right, not for long. Darkness cannot overcome light. Lies cannot overcome truth. Not for long. For the truth marches on. And the truth will be triumphant. And the truth is that Jesus will be condemned. Just so that you know that ultimate truth. God doesn't send the Son to condemn you, but to save you. So that you know, even in the worst of circumstances, that you are divine. And what is divine is valuable. Valuable beyond any price. The scriptures go on. They say those who believe in Him are not condemned. But those who do not believe are condemned already. But Jesus doesn't do this condemning. The scriptures say they are condemned already because they have turned from the promise of life and value that has been offered. And in turning away, they have condemned themselves. Jesus doesn't need to do any condemning. It's already done. The evils of the world, the condemnations we spread are our own. God wants to help us out. Wants to help us out of it, wants to relieve us from that fear that kills us, that threatens to poison our souls against one another. God wants to free us from that fear by offering to us this same divinity, that same relationship, that same unification, that same beautiful communion that Jesus has with God, Jesus shares with us. That God doesn't send the Son into the world to condemn you, but to save you. And so if the Jesus you worship is in the business of condemning people, you're worshiping the wrong Jesus.
If the God that you praise is in the business of abandoning people when things go wrong, you're praising the wrong God. And if the Holy Spirit that moves you is moving you to harm or to ostracize or to dehumanize another person, you are being moved by a spirit, sure, but it's a spirit that's far from holy. For God loves the world, this world. God loves every single rock and tree and slug and bird and animal and person and you. God loves you. And Jesus will be condemned so that you know the truth about these words. God never flees from Jesus, not even when the worst happens, and God will never flee from you, for you are divine. You are valuable to God, child of God. And in that value, in that connection, in that salvation, in that liberation and freedom are found. So cherish your life and the lives of others. God does. Love your life and the lives of others. God does. Enjoy your life and find joy together with others. God does. God does. So that you can be. Amen.
I was thinking.